Hi, this is Blake Andrews, lead pastor at Victory World Outreach, Denton, Texas. This is our podcast, and we're so glad that you came to check it out today. I hope this message encourages you and inspires you to do great things for God.
Know what day. And so when I found out I was going to go last, now you obviously have to be in prayer. And so you don't want to be the one that Pastor John preached on being spiritually aligned, and Pastor preached on longevity, and everything's about staying the course. You don't want to be the one who comes Saturday night and you're preaching on music. Amen? Amen. So with that being said, we're going to preach on tithing tonight. Amen. No, we're not. But it's one of those things where everything falls into place for those who aren't sure is God real or how the Holy Spirit moves. It's amazing how we never talked about any of these messages and they all flow together. Amen? Amen. With that being said, let's open up to John chapter 6, verse 38, if you have your Bibles with you. John chapter 6, verse 38. The Bible says, "For I have come down from heaven," this is Jesus' words, "not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up the last day." Amen? Amen. Do we see in that verse, if we can go to 38, Jesus didn't even do his own will. He did the will of his Father. Amen? And it ties back into what Pastor John was preaching on yesterday of being spiritually aligned. Jesus was aligned with the Father. Amen? So when he said, "I'm not doing my will, I'm doing the Father's will," but it was still the same will. Amen? So as believers, we're called to do the Father's will. Jesus was the perfect example. Amen? He was our perfect example. If you're taking notes tonight, the title of the message is "Not Mine, But My Father's Business." Not mine, but my Father's business. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will arrest each and every mind in this place. Speak through your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Change us, transform us, make us more like you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's open up to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Say amen when you get there. Amen. Amen. Either y'all are really quick, or we got a lot of Bible apps. Normally, in Garland, you know, we got new believers. Those pages are turning. Sometimes I'm saying, "Hey, go left. Hey, go right." Amen. But we're growing. Amen. We're growing. That's what it's about. So the Bible says, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined." If you're taking notes, underline "predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory." Let's leave verse 11 up. And so again, as we look at being predestined according to the purpose of him, that sounds like a lot of words, but what it tells you is Jesus had a specific plan for each and every one of our lives after we got saved. You know, in the church world, and it happens here, there's nothing wrong with that. You see somebody who got saved, and you say, "Man, God has a plan for your life, brother. God has a plan for your life, sister." Or maybe you know somebody who's backslidden, or somebody who's never known Jesus, and you're saying, "Man, Jesus can change you. God has a plan for your life." We've all heard that before. But sometimes we look at it loosely and we don't understand. It says we were predestined not to be saved or not saved. It's when you get saved, Jesus has specific plans for your life. Amen. According to the purpose of him. Amen? Amen. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. The Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared," underline "God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." So when your pastor is saying, "Man, God has a plan for your life, God wants to use you," that's not just pastor talk. That's what the Bible says. He says he already prepared it beforehand. That means when you decided to make that decision to accept Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter if you had a record, it doesn't matter if you had a past, it doesn't matter if you were a good parent, bad parent, alcoholic, doesn't matter what your circumstances were, when you got saved at that moment, there were certain plans that were already prepared for you to walk in them. Amen? But the same way we got saved was by choice. We chose to accept his gift of salvation. We know it's by his grace. So we have to choose to walk in those specific plans. Amen? We have to make the choice. So many times we get saved, and we all can be guilty of this. Lord, thank you for saving me. You changed me. And we genuinely believe that. But then after we get saved, it's, Lord, but I'm going to serve you under my own conditions. Lord, I'm going to serve you. Hey, I'm going to be there every Sunday. I'm going to be there every Wednesday. But Lord, hey, some of these hobbies you can't touch. Lord, I love you, but you got to understand I got some obligations. Lord, I love you, but you don't understand how many activities my children have. When we get saved, sometimes we show up and we try to, Jesus, thank you for saving me, but I'm going to set up the rules. And maybe we don't say that, but our actions show otherwise. Amen? Amen? Amen. This verse that we're going to go to next, I just prayed that Pastor didn't use it this morning. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. It's along the same lines. This is Jesus' words. Just to give you a background story, Jesus was 12 years old. His family went to worship in the temple. His family left. Jesus stayed. He wanted to stay in the house. There was something special about that house that he was going to learn and grow. And the Bible said, and he said to them, why did you seek me? Because his parents were like, Jesus, where'd you go? Amen. Jesus, we've been looking for you. 3 days he was gone. It says, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Amen. But they did not understand that statement which he spoke to them. So as believers, there's times where, man, I got to be about my Father's business. And some people said, that's cool, but you don't have to go to church on Saturday night. Be about your Father's business. You were just here Friday night. You're going to come back Saturday night. You have service on Sunday. Skip the discipleship. You know the Lord? That's just that extra, the Jesus freaks. Amen? People, even people in the church, amen, not in this church, but there's people in the church that'll say, hey, you're doing too much. Pastor expects you to go to small group too? No, there's another place over there. You only got to go once a week. Amen? And they'll preach on what you want. Amen? Amen. Hopefully nobody came from that church. But we see that even his parents didn't understand he had to be about his Father's business. And as believers, the word Christian is used too lightly. But as believers, we understand we're supposed to be Christ-like. Christ was our example. You don't think Jesus already knew everything? But he's still being an example for us, said, you know what? I'm going to stay in that temple. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to learn. I'm going to be discipled. I'm going to grow. He stayed 3 extra days. Even the fam, sometimes when you get saved and you say, hey, I want to get serious with the call of God on my life, sometimes your family might not understand it. It may even be a spouse that doesn't understand it, but if you stick with it, you'll see growth, amen? You'll see fruit. Amen. It goes on the lines of longevity. If you stick with it, amen? And to go back to, did you not understand I have to be about my Father's business? Jesus is giving us an example. Because Pastor, he preached a lot about how the blessing and the miracles and so many things in your walk are tied to the house. Where did he go to learn about his Father's business? He went to the house. Amen? So there's times I remember the first time I missed the service before I got saved. I'll never forget. I wasn't even saved yet, but these words stick with me. Pastor said, you never know how God could speak to you in a service. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the worship songs. I was so naive when I got saved, I thought Destiny and Kristen and Miss Carla made up all the songs. So I would try to write down some of the lyrics in my phone. I would record them sometimes, and then I would look it up, and I was like, they stole that song from Destiny. Amen? I didn't know any better, amen. I didn't grow up in that. I grew up in dead religion. Amen. Amen. And so we see that Jesus was showing us that there is a connection in that house. To learn that the house is where you learn about the Father's business, because my role isn't the same as your role. Your role isn't the same as her role. We learn here, and you don't even necessarily learn it from the pastor. Do you want to know where you learn it? Nobody wants to know? Right here at this altar. Amen. This is where the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Amen. He speaks throughout the message, but this is where you answer. This is where you deal with it. This is where the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, you need to give that up. Hey, you need to stop doing that. And we look at it like, well, I can't be perfect, but you don't understand. He's grooming you for the role he has in the Father's business. Amen? Pastor touched on some things this morning. I know when I got saved about 11 years ago in this place, I made decisions immediately. Not drinking, smoking, not that stuff. God delivered me of that. But I made certain decisions that I was not going to move out of this Metroplex. I'm not moving anywhere that was going to take me away from this church. And it wasn't because Pastor was my friend. Amen. How many know we can have friends that are far away from us? Amen. We both had cell phones. We could have texted each other. But it was because God did something special here. And I didn't know exactly what he was going to do, but I knew he was doing something, and I understood. It wasn't even taught to me, but I understood if God did a miracle in this place, if God used a certain person to share the gospel with me in a way that I could understand, I'm seeing change. I'm seeing fruit. I got saved. Just a quick testimony. I got baptized in this church. How many people have been baptized here before? Amen. Amen. See, there goes my mind again. I'm looking at y'all. I'm like, I bet the water was warm when y'all got baptized. Amen. When I got baptized, it was freezing. I may have let out a little squeal. I can't remember. It was a while ago. But I look at those things, and I almost lost my train of thought. Amen. Thinking about the baptism. Amen. But I made a decision. I was not going to go anywhere. And how many know opportunities can come that sound good? I've started a basketball program. I coached at a school, and I had opportunities to go to different states, make more money. I shared it with my church. There were opportunities that the people who were in the same role that I was going to take over are making probably 10 times as much as I make right now at high major colleges. All these things I could have done, but I knew if I did that, I don't know how it would end up. God bless the ones who can do it. Amen. But I know that wasn't the role that the Father had for me in his business. Amen. And so, praise God. So I understood that wasn't for me. That wasn't for me. And I got saved. Me and my wife, we got married. We were used in this church. We were youth leaders. We were young adults. We did all kinds of things, and we loved it. We did small groups. And I believed, how many know as believers, we can create our own position sometimes in the Father's business. That's why the title says, not mine, but what? Who's taking notes? Okay, even the young one. Praise God. So it's my Father's business. So we had a plan in 2022. How many of us, we all made goals this year? We wrote down the goals. We've been doing those things. So me and my wife, we wrote down a goal. We just bought a brand new house a year and a half before, and is in an area that's growing, so the value was going up week after week, it seemed like. So we had a plan. We said, we want to be used by God even more. We're going to sell this house, we're going to downsize, and we're going to invest in a Christian franchise, whether it's Chick-fil-A, something. We knew it wasn't just going to be about the money. We wanted something that was going to bear fruit, somewhere where we could freely speak the name of Jesus. Amen? So we made that decision, amen. We were about the Father's business, we thought, amen. And then May 22nd, 2022, I was standing right over there at the altar call. We had Pastor Bland come in and preach. This was a revival, just like we're in right now. And so this happened to be on a Sunday morning, and he looked at me. I probably hadn't said more than 3 words to Pastor Bland a day in my life at that point. And it was just great message. Amen. That's probably all I said to him up until that point. And he looked at me during an altar call. He said, how long have you been in this church? I said, about 9 years. He said, that's too long. You need to get out of here. Amen. Imagine if I said that to one of y'all. Amen. He said, you need to get out of here. You've been here too long. Amen. And I felt something in my spirit at that moment. At that moment. You know, I wanted to turn around and say he was talking to this person, but I knew he was talking to me. And I knew it wasn't Pastor Bland, because Pastor Bland doesn't know me like that. The Holy Spirit speaks through people. Amen. So I go back to the connection to the house. What if I didn't come to that service? Pastor mentioned when me and my wife, we started dating, it was only, how many know, when you know, you know. We met each other. 5 months later, we got married. And we'll be married 9 years in August. Amen. So it was one of those things. When we first got married, I was busy. We travel a lot. I still travel with the school team and other things like that. But I made the decision that time in 2022, I'm not missing nothing. Nothing. If that means I got to drive all the way back from Kansas City or from Illinois and make it at 5 a.m. just to go to service, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to miss anything anymore. Amen? And so I look at that, and it's, what if I would have decided to miss that? That I wouldn't have got that spiritual kick in the rear that I needed to, hey, it's about time. Amen? Amen. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, if you haven't underlined this, which God prepared beforehand. This, your life isn't just some random thing that God put together. It says he prepared this beforehand. Do we still understand that we serve the God that created everything we see and know about? He did that in 6 days. Amen? It was so easy, he rested on the seventh. Amen? That same God said, hey, when this person decides to give their life to me, I have a specific plan for them. I can't force them to do that plan, but I have a specific plan for them. Amen? But sometimes when we try to mix in our plan and our ways, we diminish what God did. God doesn't need any help. But we say, hey, Lord, I think I know what direction you're trying to take me. I think you're trying to take me to the franchise way. So we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And God's saying, you dummy. Amen. All we got to do is obey and trust him. Amen? Amen. Obey and trust him. Can I say something real quick? Ushers, can y'all shut the door so nobody leaves? I'm just playing. Don't do it. Don't do it. But I just want to share something. And this may ruffle people the wrong way, but I learned this from my pastor, so don't blame me. Blame pastor, and pastor learned it from the Holy Spirit. So who are you going to get mad at? One thing I can say about this church and this fellowship is there's one way to feel uncomfortable in here, if you're not doing anything. So when we look at God prepare the works beforehand, none of those works was just be a churchgoer. Amen? Some of us, we get saved, and it's just like, hey, I got my ticket into heaven. I'm going to keep going every time the doors are open, but I'm not doing more than that. You think the same God that created all of this, who had a plan for your life, just said, hey, I just want this person to go to church, and that's good enough. But a lot of times, we take that attitude. Amen? And I was thinking, and how we know, like Pastor John said yesterday, the first thing we do is minister to ourselves. And so I had to think back to my life. I had to think back even now. You can get to this point as a pastor. Whenever we get to that point, it's a dangerous place where we get to the point where coming to church is checking the box or, hey, I know I'm obligated to go. I don't want pastor to send me those eyes. I don't want pastor to send me where you at. I heard a man yesterday saying, man, you know what I love about this pastor? He said, he's the first pastor I've ever met that'll text me where you at when I miss. And I'm saying, he's still doing that? That's pastor hasn't changed, amen? It got to the point, I've had some guys I've had to send that to, amen? And it felt good because pastor did it to me. Amen? But how many know we need that accountability? Amen. We need that accountability. Amen. And so sometimes we look at it as, and if the house is where we learn about being about the Father's business, if this is where the Holy Spirit speaks to us, not that he can't speak to you at your own home or in your car or give you ideas, but this is where you grow. This is where you get pushed in the Spirit. And if I look at that as, okay, God, I'm coming because I know I'm supposed to come. And this is the same Jesus that died on the cross for my sins. And my attitude is, all right, I'm gonna show up. I'm gonna lift my hands. Praise God. Is there food after? What kind of mindset is that? Amen. Like at the end of the day, our life should be giving glory to God. Our lives should be a picture of God saved me. He took me from darkness, the Bible says, unto his marvelous light. And I'm looking at church as just something I got to do this week. That's not how it was intended to be. Amen. God prepared a special individual plan for each of us. Amen. It's an honor to be used by God. Amen. How many have teenagers in this place? Amen. I don't yet. But I've coached for so long, I felt like I've had a thousand of them. So our walk with God, if our attitude is not right, would be like a teenager whose parents said, you know what, I'm going to throw a birthday party for you. It's going to be wonderful. Not because I have to, but because I want to. And I have it planned out just the way I want it, and I know you're going to love it. And that teenager says, you know what? Hey, Mom, Dad, I got some other plans. I appreciate it, though. Just send me the Cash App. Send me the money for it. I love you, too. And go on about their business. How many know that's what we can do spiritually? God, Jesus prepared a special plan for us. And we say, you know what, God, I got family, I got obligations. You don't think he knows that? How do we think we get the family that we're so focused on that we can't even think about what Jesus has in store for me? It all came from him. We learn about the Father's business. Amen? Amen. Got these notes all out of order. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad I'm here tonight. Amen. Amen. Just a couple of things to share. There's no fear when you know you're in his perfect will. Amen. There's no fear when you know you're in his perfect will. That doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. Doesn't mean you're not going to have situations. I'm not sharing that as just somebody, oh, man, what has he been through? What has he gone through? Even sometimes as believers, we forget we're still real people. God never said in his word, you know what, when you get saved, life is going to be peaches and cream. I remember about 6.5 years ago, me and my wife, we had a miscarriage earlier, then we had a baby, and we had a revival just like this, and a pastor prayed over her, prayed over my wife, said, your pregnancy is going to be perfect. Amen? And then she ended up being born. She was emergency C-section. She wasn't breathing. She had seizures. Amen? But if you're not in it long enough, and if you don't understand that, hey, when I'm in his perfect will, everything's going to work out to his glory. Amen? Amen. There can be short times of discouragement, but there's comfort in knowing you're doing the Father's business. Amen? Remember Pastor Marshall, he shared a word at a conference a couple years back, and it's always stuck with me. He said, God didn't call you to be successful. He called you to be obedient. Amen. Amen. God didn't call you to be successful. He called you to be obedient. Amen. 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 And before we get to this next verse, I feel like the most mentioned person all weekend has been the Apostle Paul. Pastor John mentioned him, Pastor mentioned him this morning, so I don't have to give you too much of a rundown of his life. We know he got radically saved. He used to kill and persecute Christians. He ended up writing 2/3 of the New Testament. And so how many know that when you're doing things for God, you're going to have people that don't like you? Amen. And they may not even know why they don't like you. Amen. But how many know that there's a real devil? Amen. The Bible says we don't wrestle not against flesh and blood, but spirits and principalities, amen? So the Apostle Paul, he was moving, doing the Father's business. People were getting saved. And then the Jews and people in Jerusalem were like, man, he's causing problems. So they try to tell the Romans, this guy, he's causing problems. He's doing some crazy things. We want him killed. And but they didn't know that he was a Roman citizen. So the Apostle Paul got to make an appeal to King Agrippa. Let's go to Acts chapter 26, verse 19. This is what we want to be able to say. So when the Apostle Paul was being accused of everything and his life was in the balance, he wasn't worried about life or death. He said, "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Amen? In other words, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to doing my Father's business. I wasn't disobedient to the call of God on my life. Now, whatever you choose to do with me is what you do. But he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Let's leave that verse up there. And so as I look at my life, you put yourself in your shoes, you know your own story. But I don't ever want to get to the point where on judgment day and the Lord comes back, I say, Lord, hey, me and my wife, we were able to save up and set up a college fund for our kids, but I was disobedient to the heavenly vision that you had for me. I don't want to say, Lord, me and my wife, we were married for 60 years till you took us home. We went to Disney World 10 times. Don't go there, but it just sounded good right now. But I was disobedient to the heavenly vision. I don't want to get to the point where I said, Lord, hey, I stayed fit. I stayed in shape. I was active. But I was disobedient to doing the Father's business in my life. I don't want to get to the point where I say, Lord, hey, I was relevant. I helped out a lot of people. How many know you can help out a lot of people but still be disobedient to the heavenly vision? Amen? And I'm saying this truth. I got saved. I remember pastor said, man, God's going to use you. You're going to touch young people with your basketball program for Jesus. And I'm just like, I am? I was like, I'm still trying to learn this. I don't even clap in church yet. Amen? But he didn't say that because he saw some crazy vision. It was because he knew the word of God. He understood that God had specific plans for my life. And with that, God was able to bless all kinds of things. I've been blessed to have an opportunity to coach a player that went to the NBA. We've had opportunities to play on ESPN and do all kinds of things since I got saved. But if that's all I can say, that I did that and I went to church, then I'm going to be disobedient to the heavenly vision he had for my life. Amen? There's nothing worse. There's nothing worse than hearing that you are disobedient to the heavenly vision. That Jesus said, hey, I don't know what y'all are worried about. I can't focus on that. I got to be about my Father's business. And all of those things I mentioned, I'm not saying any of those are bad except Disney. But if those things happen and come with doing the heavenly vision, then praise God. If they don't, then praise God. Amen. Amen. If the musicians can come forward. You see, you learn your role in the Father's business at an altar, just like this. I can think of, I remember the other day, I used to always share Bria's stories. She gave me one last week. We were all sitting down talking. For those that don't know, my daughter Bria, she's 6. And she said, I don't know how we got on the topic. She said, I remember when I got saved. I said, you did? When was it? She said, 2 years ago. I said, okay. I said, what happened? She said, before I got saved, my life was boring, and I was just walking around. I said, then what happened after? She said, then Jesus gave me dolls, and now I'm not bored. And now I got a little baby. I said, you don't have a baby. She said, baby brother. Amen? But how many know that me and a 6-year-old could be having all kinds of other conversations? Amen? If she didn't grow up in church. Amen. Some of us, we may look at it like, okay, hey, if I miss here and there, or there's some other things going on, hey, I'm not going to fully be obedient to the Father's business, to that heavenly vision, but I know I'm going to make it. But as adults, we have children. Amen. And sometimes we forget that the things we do are tied to the destiny of our children. Amen. How selfish would it be if, hey, God, I'm not going to be fully obedient. That's one thing. But I'm not going to be fully obedient. And if my kid doesn't reach their destiny in the process, oh, well. But that's what we do if our values and our priorities aren't in order. Amen?
Amen.
I can't think of one thing that we've done that I can say, man, I wish I didn't just go all in for God. Amen. How many know you don't have to worry about anything? When me and my wife, we got sent out and we were in the car after, we were just going back and forth talking about the different things that we needed to do. We had our first service less than 3 weeks after we got sent out in Colorado. Amen. We were driving from Aubrey to Garland. And we didn't fear, we didn't worry. We knew, hey, I just have to go all in now. And if some of the things that I was able to do before can come along with me, great. If they can't, they can't. But I got to be about my Father's business. And one thing, God is so wonderful. I remember we were outreaching before we had our first service. I said, God, just show up. Show me how real you are. I already know you're real, but just remind me one more time that you're with me. Amen. How many know sometimes we say, Lord, just show me one more time. And so we went to a park. And it was a young couple, and I asked them if they believed, and the kid said, I'm an agnostic. And the girl said, I used to believe, but I don't. My parents do. I've been dealing with seizures since forever. And so I started sharing part of the things that happened in my daughter's life. When we named my daughter, her middle name is Amarachi, and that means by the grace of God, God's grace. And it was by the grace of God that she made it. We always prayed that she would have a testimony at a young age. Even in her closet today, she has her orthotics, the braces, everything but the walker that she used to have. It's still there as a reminder of what God did in her life. So I was able to use that situation that the world would look like as a tragedy and share. I said, hey, God can break you free of that. And I'm sharing with her. And even in the middle of me sharing the testimony, she started having a seizure. And so I looked at the boyfriend. I don't even know why I did that, but I looked at the boyfriend and said, do you mind if I pray for her? And he was freaking out. So I laid hands on her and prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. And the seizure stopped immediately. Amen? Praise God. They didn't come into our church. How many know it's not about church numbers? Amen. All those things are good, but it's about being obedient to that heavenly vision in your life. When I laid hands and prayed on that girl, that wasn't me being a pastor. That was me being obedient to the heavenly vision. Amen. And we have something special in this place as a fellowship. Amen. If it wasn't special, if it wasn't real, I wouldn't be here. Amen. When I got saved, Pastor preached on the rapture, and the first thing I did when I got home was Google everything to tell me the rapture wasn't real. You can find some crazy stuff. But none of it resonated with my spirit. I knew this was real, and I have to be serious with my walk with God. This isn't some play around stuff. This isn't a joke. This is understanding Jesus is coming back soon, and I got to get my life in order, and he's going to help me. The Bible says he doesn't leave us orphans. And this fellowship and what we're doing here, revivals like this, they're so important to challenge us, to encourage us. Even my son, who's 4 months old, I Googled it today. He might be the first Nigerian ever with a middle name Blake. Amen. I gave him Blake for his middle name just because I want him to understand who Blake was to me. He was the man who didn't have to. He was the man who had a family. Both his daughters were still in school. That he didn't have to take time outside of his truck and share the gospel with me. He didn't have to get up at 5:27. There's guys now, I'm seeing pictures. You guys have like 30 people at men's discipleship. Back then it was two or three of us. He didn't have to take time out of his day. I shared it with our church. Can you imagine how annoying it would be to drive 10 hours to Colorado Springs and somebody ask you questions the whole way? That's what I did after my first conference. Pastor, what does that mean? What was this? What were they saying? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he broke down everything. He didn't say, shut up, go to sleep. those things are why it's like, no, God put me here for a reason, because that's not common. Amen? If we can all bow our head and close our eyes. If we can all bow our head and close our eyes in reverence to the Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, I know you are in this place. Lord, I pray that you will touch each and every heart that's in this place. Lord, allow us to be more serious. Allow us to be mindful about the Father's business in our lives. Lord, I wish I knew what your plan was for everybody, but I don't. You know best. And Lord, I pray that there will be a heart of surrender in this place, surrendering to your plan. And Lord, we know that before anyone can surrender to the plan you have for them, we must have to surrender to you, as making Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. You see, many places people pray a prayer and they accept Jesus, or people will say, Jesus is my Savior. I know Jesus. A lot of people know Jesus the Savior. But the difference is, have you made him Lord? Have you fully surrendered your life, your thoughts, your ideas, the way, this is just the way I am? No, I'm a new creation in Christ. Have you ever fully surrendered? How many all over this place, you've never accepted Jesus Christ, but you want to accept him tonight? You want to know, I heard it said earlier this morning in the discipleship during the testimony. One of the men from the spring said, man, a lot of people can tell me how to get to hell, but who can tell me how to get to heaven? Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the only one that's been to the other side and came back. I shared it with our church a couple weeks ago. I heard a man's testimony. He was a part of all different types of religions. He was atheist. He was everything you can think of in the past. He said, man, I tried to become a Muslim. And they said, there's something about Jesus. They said, he's without sin. He's different. He's special. He's one of the ways. Then he said, he's seen stuff about Buddha. And they said, Jesus was a type of Buddha. He was something different. There's something special about him. He said, in some of the Hindu religions, they believe in a million gods. They said, Jesus is one of the ways. Then he said, he researched Jesus, and Jesus said he was the only way. He said, I'm going to go with the guy that said he's the only way. People, everybody's mentioning him. Jesus mentioned nobody but himself. And even today, the world will use his name as a cuss word. Nobody ever shouts, oh, Muhammad, oh, Buddha. It's only the name of Jesus, because there's power in it. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. And tonight, you can know that power. Tonight, you can have that forgiveness. Maybe you came in bound by addictions. Maybe you came in depressed and nobody knows it. Maybe you've been holding on to shame from years ago. Jesus can set you free. I'm not just saying it because it sounds good. I was in a service just like this and saw Jesus set me free. And not only in my life, but many others in this place, tonight can be your night. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Yes. So I'm going to say it again. How many all over this place? Just lift up your hands. I want to pray with you. Say, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior tonight. Just lift up your hands. I want to pray with you. All over this place. God bless you. I see that hand. We're not asking you to become a member of a church. We're not asking you if you have been baptized. We're not asking you what your parents believe, because the Bible said it's appointed unto man to die once, and then comes judgment. You're not going to be able to say on judgment day, I had a good pastor. You're not going to be able to say on judgment day, I didn't know it was that serious. Tonight can be your night. Tonight can be, we don't know what may happen after this. This isn't to scare you. This is just to keep it real. Amen. Why would I gamble with my future when Jesus already died for me? The shame, the sin, the bitterness, everything that I've held, he died for it. Why keep myself in a prison when Jesus said, I'm here to set the captives free? How many all over this place, just lift up your hands. I want to pray with you. You want to receive Jesus Christ tonight? God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. How many more? And maybe you're in this place and there was a time you knew Jesus, you walked with him, you loved him. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about you had a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. But you know, looking at your life, I'm not where I used to be. Well, you're in the right place. The Bible says in Jeremiah that God is married to the backslider. The Bible says that Jesus is the good shepherd that would leave the 99 who are in no need of repentance to go after the one that was lost. How many all over this place, you need to come back home to Jesus tonight. You need to restore, you need to rededicate your life back to Christ. Just lift up your hands and put it back down. I want to pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. Honest hearts. Honest hearts in this place. It's going to take an honest heart to make it for God. The Bible says that he who endures to the end shall be saved. Not he who makes a mistake. Not he who falls down. He who endures. If you get back up and endure, you will be saved. You will make it. Amen. And this place is here to help you. If we can all stand to our feet in reverence to the Lord, no talking. If you raised your hand for salvation or you raised your hand for rededication, I'd like for you to do one more thing. Walk to the nearest aisle and come forward. I want to pray with you. God bless you. How many more? Lady in our church who came to discipleship this morning, and she came from a different denomination, and she said, Pastor, I was just blown away with how many young people. She said, I've never seen this many young people in one place for God. Yes. Amen. How many know the devil doesn't like that? Right. Amen. How many know the devil is attacking young people more than ever? Amen. Yes. The devil's attacking them so much, I don't even feel young anymore. Yes. But we understand that God has a specific plan, especially for a generation like this. A generation like this where everything is digital and all kinds of things are going on, the enemy uses that as the devil's playground. But how many know that God wants to raise up an army? We don't have any special people in this place. We just have people who accepted the heavenly vision that Jesus Christ had on their lives. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Everybody, repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you a sinner in need of a Savior. In need of forgiveness, in need of a fresh start. Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God raised him from the dead, that he defeated death, hell and the grave. And because of that, I'm saved. Because of that, my name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus, use your Holy Spirit to show me my role in the Father's business. I choose to serve you from this day forward. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's go.
Thanks again for listening. If you want to hear more messages, please subscribe to our podcast channel. And if you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from VWO Denton, go to our website at vwotexas.com.